Years ago, an Indianapolis group started an annual one-night count of unaccompanied youth and young adults experiencing homelessness in the city. Its latest count found 183 people. WFYI's City Desk reporter Drew Dodlin sat down with Chelsea Herring-Cozy, executive director of the Coalition for Homelessness, Intervention and Prevention.
This is the second time you've done a count specifically for young adults and youth. But you said that the way that you did it, it was pretty different, and a lot of that is why you got different results?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first year that we did a youth point in time count was in 2017. And, you know, this was new. A lot of communities have not done specific youth and young adult point in time counts. And a lot of communities recognize that they don't present in the same way that adults do. And so you don't find youth and young adults in the same way that you do adults. So we knew we couldn't just replicate what we do for our big point in time count. And so we tried as a community to get creative in how we find youth and young adults. And so the first year, the idea was to have a big event that would encourage youth to come out and participate in this event. And there would be things to do and some resources available. And then during the event, we would survey youth to better understand their homelessness status. And I think we realized after the 2017 count that it was low, and we really knew that it really didn't capture what we knew anecdotally and what service providers knew was happening in terms of youth and young adult homelessness. So the 2018 PIT, we took a very different approach, and we decided instead of having youth come out to us, we would go out to where we knew youth were coming in. And so for the 2018 count, there were a couple different strategies. One, teams went out to some of the youth-serving organizations in the community that were already seeing youth experiencing homelessness to do surveys. Some of the shelters, some of the youth groups like IYG and Outreach Inc., and surveys were conducted out in the community in that way. The other thing we did is teamed up with the McKinney-Vento liaisons with the school district who work directly with youth experiencing homelessness. They collect data, they identify youth in the schools that are experiencing homelessness, and so we were able to also get data from the McKinney-Vento liaisons that really helped provide a more comprehensive picture of kind of that snapshot of youth and young adult homelessness.
A lot of people have talked to me about how difficult it is, just on a very basic level, to get good data on homelessness. It seems a little, because of that, it seems a little counterintuitive to only do a one-night count instead of something like an ongoing records-keeping. Is something like that just too intensive? Is it too much of an undertaking to do more than just a point-in-time count?
Yeah, so I mean, I think I just want to be clear with a point-in-time count that it really is just a snapshot. And so if you look at it like that, it is a one-day or one-night look at who is experiencing homelessness in the city. And it's as comprehensive as it can be in terms of trying to find people where they are. But I think you're right. It can't be the end-all be-all in terms of the data source that we use. It's a reference point. But we are able to then kind of work with homeless service providers and through our homeless management information system over the course of a year to really kind of extrapolate who is experiencing homelessness in the city at various touch points, if you will. And so from that, we get more of a comprehensive picture through that so that we know, you know, anywhere over the course of a year, we have 12 to 14,000 people that touch our homeless system in Indianapolis. And so we use that to also do some more community planning and use that data that goes beyond the point in time count. We've also looked at possibly as a community of doing kind of a version of a point in time count, maybe on a quarterly basis or a little more often, just to see how that ebbs and flows throughout the course of a year. As far as the overall point in time, HUD only mandates us to do it the one time a year and mandates that it is that during that two-week period in January on a single night. And so we're required to do that one, but we have had conversations as a community of, is this something we should look at more often over the course of a year to better understand what's happening in our community?
And part of the difficulty there, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, it seems like it's really tough to get data on this, in part because people move in and out so frequently. You know, the definition for homelessness sort of differs depending on what you're looking at. So can you talk about how difficult it is just in a basic way to categorize and define and count this population?
Sure. And, I think by nature of someone's experience with homelessness, people do move around a lot and it's very transient. And so that is a challenge. But what our hope is, and where we've really moved pretty far as a community, is that typically somebody experiencing homelessness will show up somewhere within our broader homeless service sector. And so we as a community use what's called HMIS. It's the Homeless Management Information System. A lot, all of the homeless service providers use that system. Several of our faith-based partners are starting to use that system. And so the hope is the more and more of our community partners that work within HMIS, the better our data quality becomes, because then we know people will show up somewhere and that's where we'll kind of capture what the scope is. And so we have a great team at CHIP that works within that data set. They're able to deduplicate data so that we're not counting people multiple times and that we really do get a better sense of kind of what homelessness looks like in Indianapolis. Where youth are a little different is, again, the definition of youth homelessness varies. So for our youth point in time count, we went on a literal definition of youth. And so the number here that you see from the 2018 count is literal homelessness. This is youth that were either unsheltered or in emergency shelter, transitional housing, or safe haven. But the Department of Education definition of youth homelessness does count those who are couch surfing, doubling up, and those kinds of things. And so I think that's where, with youth in particular, it's important to understand both of those numbers, because those that are doubled up and couch surfing really are important to understanding what youth homelessness looks like, because there aren't a lot of shelter options, honestly, for youth. And so they're finding other ways to be sheltered, but are by no means housing stable.
What are your hopes for the result of data like this? You know, you find data like this and then you ideally show it to people who can do something. What was kind of the reason for doing it, and what do you hope will happen as you get better and better data on this?
Yeah, so our reason for doing it, one, was to have data to start somewhere. Because I think anecdotally, we knew, and homeless service providers knew, and folks in the community knew, that we have a challenge in terms of youth and young adults that are experiencing homelessness. But we didn't know what it looked like. We didn't know what the real scope of that challenge was. And so this is a starting point to say we actually have some data as a baseline, if you will, to really start looking at this. And our hope is to every year kind of improve that data quality and data collection, because ultimately what it does is it helps us target resources to say who is most at risk or experiencing homelessness as far as youth and young adults, and how do we start to intervene earlier, and how do we start to target resources so that those youth and young adults don't ultimately become our chronically homeless adult population. And so that's kind of the starting point, is understanding at least what are we seeing out there so that we can find and target resources in a way that helps break that cycle. So our community right now is in the process of putting together a collaborative application for YHDP, which is Youth Homeless Demonstration Program. It's a federal funding that has the potential to bring anywhere from $1 million to $15 million to community to focus specifically on youth and young adult homelessness. And so collecting this data really helps us explain that this is indeed a problem here in Indianapolis, and we need to begin to address it much more explicitly.
And this is getting outside of the scope of this conversation in terms of the count, but I'm just curious, could you talk a little bit about the different strategies and the approach to going after youth homelessness and how that's different than adults and older people?
Sure. I mean, I think for youth, the idea is to really intervene early and understand what the causes for homelessness are so that those can start to be addressed. And so for youth and young adults, the real kind of push is how to ensure then youth and young adults are connected to educational opportunities so that they can finish education and position themselves well to be part of workforce. So from our 2018 youth count, 61% of those lack a high school diploma. So that's huge, because without that, we know then opportunities are limited. So that starts to kind of direct efforts of how do we get youth back enrolled in school, connected with McKinney-Vento liaisons, connected with opportunities to finish their high school equivalency, so that they're positioned then to enter employment or workforce. So then that's another piece of it, is how do we then work to connect youth with workforce development opportunities so that they can then go down the path of self-sufficiency and stability and break that cycle. Because what we know is if we don't get youth and young adults experiencing homelessness connected to employment opportunities, again, then they have a higher likelihood of becoming our chronic homeless population.
I think you've talked to me about this, but it's also a special challenge in some ways to just connect with young people who are in this position to begin with, right? Because they're maybe more hesitant to kind of show up for services and show up to events and things like that. Do you think that there are systems in place or any kind of mechanisms to account for that? And are there people in the city that are specially trained or especially able to go and connect with these people?
Sure. Again, I think the McKinney-Vento liaisons in the schools are a great resource and advocate that can really help get youth connected. And so we work really closely with the McKinney-Vento liaisons. But we also know that not all homeless youth and young adults are in the traditional school setting. And so then the other key is making sure there are safe places for youth to come in and start engaging. We know that within the youth and young adult population, specifically the LGBTQ community, is a big community that has experience in homelessness. And so making sure that there are places that those youth and young adults feel like they can come in to engage that is safe and a place that they will not be turned away or judged. So, you know, groups like IYG are huge. Our community is just launching a really cool new transitional living program, specifically kind of targeting this conversation called Trinity Haven. And so it will be a housing residential program that will work with youth, and that's expected to open this summer. So I think the more we provide these kind of safe spaces for youth to come in and to start engaging, that will really help.
You got some questions that you asked these people. So you got, you know, like you said, if they have high school diplomas, there's data here on mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get good data, or did you talk to them much during this count about what led them to be homeless?
So some, yep, and there is a good amount of data in terms of reasons that youth and young adult are experiencing homelessness. Probably the leading cause is some type of family conflict. And so some of that is, again, when you look at the LGBTQ community, is there are youth and young adults that came out to their family that were no longer welcome at home. And so that is one of the reasons that youth find themselves in the situation. And then other types of family conflict, like mom met a new guy and the guy moved in and doesn't get along with the youth. And there's a lot of disruption in the home. And particularly, I think, for older youth, 16, 17 years old, they end up getting kicked out of the house or not feeling welcome or safe in the house. So family conflict is a big reason for youth homelessness. When you look at young adult homelessness, lack of employment is a huge reason, is that when you're in that age range of 18 to 24, if you're not connected with income or employment opportunities, you have a lot of young adults then not being able to afford an apartment. We know that affordability is a huge issue here in Indianapolis, as well as the availability of affordable housing. And so that can be a contributing factor as well.
What's your sense for, you know, the young people in this population and how connected they are right now to services? How involved are they in trying to get out of it, basically? Or do you see stagnation in the population that people don't know where to go or aren't going to get help for some reason?
So that's a hard question to answer, you know, because I think that is something that the actual individual would have to speak better to. I think our community is really working hard to get the message out there that there are services available and making those services open and welcome to all. And so I think just having these type of conversations is really important in getting the word out to youth that there are people out there willing to help. There are places to come into. I think a lot of the destigmatization around homelessness around mental health issues is also helpful, because I think the struggle, particularly with youth, is they don't want to be labeled or categorized because they don't want that to impact then their opportunities and chances. And so changing the conversation around, again, homelessness, mental health issues, substance abuse struggles is also really important in breaking down some of the stigma and barriers that youth might feel if they were to be kind of open about some of the challenges they're facing.
You mentioned hopefully getting even better data as the years go on. You know, if you could do it however you want, what are your goals at CHIP about how to get better and better data on this population?
I mean, honestly, I think the methodology we used this past year was a good methodology and fairly comprehensive. So the hope is just that as more and more youth know about the services out there that they come in, that that's where we'll capture them. So the more youth that come into service providers and to places like Outreach Inc. or places like IYG or Trinity Haven, that will just improve data quality because that's where youth are coming in. And so I think just the better way to get data quality is to just make sure people know where they can come in for services and that we're then able to collect data in those ways. So this past year, we feel like this was a pretty comprehensive methodology. You know, I think what's really important to note with the youth count is just these kind of definitions of homelessness. And that they matter. And literal homelessness is one thing, and that's absolutely kind of what this is capturing. But for youth and young adults in particular, that more expansive definition of homelessness in terms of doubling up, couch surfing, is really important to just understanding the full scope. And so I think that's just an important distinction to make.
Is there a way to get data on that type of homelessness?
I think that comes in developing relationships, I think, over time with youth. I think McKinney-Vento liaisons are able to capture that a lot better because they do work with youth on a more regular basis. And so I think that's an area that is really starting to grow and develop. And how do we really get a sense of those that we consider housing unstable to really try to intervene, like I said earlier, and get youth connected before that cycle continues?
Because it seems like to me that population would be way more difficult, right, to get data on just by virtue of them being inside. They have some support, so they might not feel as inclined to go out and to some kind of service provider or wherever you're gathering data.
Right. So I think that's where, again, the more the community is aware, too, of what resources out there and they can encourage or inform youth of places they can go for that further assistance. That also is, I think, really helpful in making sure not only youth get connected to the resources they need and know that they're out there, but then for us to have a better understanding of exactly, you know, what this challenge looks like. The other thing I just wanted to note with the youth and young adult count is this is unaccompanied youth. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about children that are with a parent experiencing homelessness, that's captured in our overall point in time count that we do in January. So if there are children that have a parent with them that are experiencing homelessness, that is not reflected in the youth and young adult. That's in the general point in time. This is for unaccompanied youth that are not with a parent or guardian and experiencing homelessness.
Thanks a lot for coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That was CHIP Executive Director Chelsea Herring-Cozy speaking with WFYI's City Desk reporter Drew Dodlin.